Monster Man, episode 295, Juggernaut and Kalmuru. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we're continuing our journey through the Conjurations chapter of Creature Catalog, the 1986 supplement for Basic Dungeons & Dragons. As you may recall, the Conjurations section contains artificial creatures and creatures summoned from other planes, or just from other planes, rather than summoned. And we get one of each in today's episode. We start off with the Juggernaut. Now, Juggernaut is a very interesting word and one that has its origins in Anglophone interpretation of Hinduism. Today, we tend to think of a Juggernaut as something large and unstoppable, right? It's a monster in Warhammer, it's an X-Men villain, it's the big guy with the big gun in Call of Duty. But the word comes from the name Juggernaut. It's an interesting example of English spellings inserting the absent R. So a person with a certain type of English accent would pronounce the word that is spelt juggernaut, juggernaut. And as a result, they put in the R that they don't pronounce, even though it's not there in the first place. You tell me. Anyway, Juggernaut is a form, an aspect of Vishnu, and typically appears in the form of a kind of like a very stylized face on like a log or pole, and is an example of something that, now, I'm not an expert on Hinduism, I don't understand, you know, every aspect of Juggernaut's theology. What I do know is that if you go and look up in, you know, I went and looked him up in the Oxford Encyclopedia of World Religions. If you go and look him up in any religious text, or if you just look at his Wikipedia entry, it's huge and complicated, and the thing that he is known for in the West is only a tiny fragment of that. The reason that Juggernaut means like a big unstoppable thing is one festival that is dedicated to Juggernaut, and that is the Ratha Yatra, the festival of the chariots, during which icons of Juggernaut are carried around on these big chariots pulled by worshippers. They're these huge carts. They're like parade floats, but on a massive scale. And so Juggernaut came to be applied to the chariot by English writers. And this image of this big unstoppable thing and these sort of like horror stories of people being crushed beneath the wheels, which I believe, you know, I mean, I'm sure accidents do happen, but they were kind of portrayed sensationally as a way to make Hindu religious practices look violent and brutal. And Juggernaut appears as a symbol of brutality and strength in a lot of things. If you read the comic Kill 6 Billion Demons, for example, the character whose name is based on that, Juggernaut, is an enormous, warlike, brutal character. Or, I mean, Juggernaut is mentioned in Jane Eyre. The reverend, when he's scolding Jane, says she's worse than a little child that worships Juggernaut. So Juggernaut came to mean this brutal, unstoppable, powerful thing, but that's not particularly the image or emotion that would be associated with Juggernaut. So I guess what I mean is, it's an interesting example of the evolution, right? That the name first means the god, then it means the carriage or chariot in which the god is carried, and then now it just means a carriage or chariot, because that's what we have in the creature catalog, is the vehicle, Juggernaut. And these are kind of self-propelled siege engines. These ones, as far as I understand it, come from X4, Master of the Desert Nomads. And they are basically mobile siege engines or war machines. They don't seem to have a religious element. I think it would be a lot of fun if they were kind of mobile shrines. You know, it would be a little more of a nod to the word's origins, and also would be weirder. I like it when you introduce a magical vehicle in a fantasy role-playing game, I think you have to be very cautious to make sure that it doesn't turn into something that's simply a direct analog of a piece of technology. And the Juggernaut is a little bit in danger of being like that, of being like a tank or something like that. So I like the Juggernaut, which is, you know, big rolling armored fortress kind of vehicle thing. You get two versions of it. You've got your wooden Juggernaut and your stone Juggernaut, and they are super powerful. The stone Juggernaut's got 30 hit dice. It is a beast. Interestingly, I don't think... Now, I haven't read Master of the Desert Nomads, so I'm only going on what I have read about it. But the Juggernauts don't play a very important role in Master of the Desert Nomads, right? They're not ever, like, an important strategic objective. It's just that the aforementioned Master of the Desert Nomads has this big army, and the army has some Juggernauts in. I guess they're part of an overall, you guys can't take on this army by yourselves sort of feel that you're supposed to get, but... Anyway, regardless, I think when the Juggernaut is this powerful, that is kind of its limiting factor. Very few adventuring parties are going to be interested in taking on a 30-hit die magical tank. So, like, it almost becomes a denial monster, right? Something where you're like, well, the bad guys are advancing their Juggernauts, and, you know, if they can get them down into the plane, we won't be able to stop them, and they'll smash the peaceful cities and, you know, burn all the bakeries and what have you. So we need to collapse this mountain pass. So that means we need to go to the dungeon and get the Ring of Earth Elemental Control. And then we got to go to the pass and crash it shut because these enormous Juggernauts can't go through anywhere else. So I think there's something to be said there. And also it kind of gives you a, I always feel bad for war animals. You know, this is stupid, but I feel this kind of sympathy. Like in medieval combat, things in RPGs and whatever, I always hate killing the horses, you know? The rider on the back of the horse is usually a nasty piece of work, but it's not like the horse did anything. Call me sentimental. But if he was riding around on, like, a juggernaut, then I'd feel okay about it, because it's just a big robot. Stop me before I start going on about how robots think and feel, of course. But, it is kind of neat. You could, using all the artificially animated monsters in this section, you could quite easily create a villain whose whole army was just these guys, right? You know, guardian warriors and their horses, golems, and in our next episode, we're going to have living statues. So you really got quite a lot of variety in terms of animated, inanimate monsters. Next up, we got the Kalmuru, or Shipbane. These guys come from X8, Drums on Fire Mountain, which is also where the fundamentals came from. And they are actually, I think they're really cool. They're kind of spectral, misty entities, and they form together into like a big cloud that their spooky, ghostly forms appear in. And the more of them join together, the bigger the cloud is. And this fog that they form settles down onto a ship, and then it can do stuff like it causes confusion. And then while that's all going on, right, the sailors are all baffled by this eerie fog that they found themselves in. Then the Kalmuru swoop in and strike. And, you know, days later, the ships are found drifting. And no member of the crew has survived except one. And he was mad with terror kind of situation. Very good. A very good way to explain, like, why this island with the dungeon on it has never been discovered, right? Like, oh, there's an island that's not on any map. Well, how come it's not on any map? Well, because ships that go in there, you know, they say that the Kalmuru comes. Yeah, I think these guys are pretty good. I feel like if you're gonna have dandy pirate adventures on a dandy pirate ship, this is a pretty good antagonist, because it's not one that, there's no reason that you couldn't have it, you know, in a dungeon or whatever, but I do think that we have enough kind of stories in our folklore about strange mists descending on ships and everybody vanishing, that the Kalmuru fits pretty neatly into that recognizable idiom. And that kind of adds a little punch to it. And again, they definitely reinforce the thing about, like, sailors being superstitious, but of course, this being a fantasy game, the sailors are right. Yeah, I'm quite fond of the Kalmuru. All right. That's about all the monsters that we have time for today. Our next episode is going to be a special episode in which I talk about the monsters of Tekumel, Professor M.A.R. Barker's Outre fantasy world. And after that, we're going to go on and take a look at the Living Statue and the Magin, the Magin, the Magain. All right here on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.